Once upon a time, there was... When you hear those words, you know that there is a fairy tale. There's some sort of a story coming along with it. And it's like that once upon a time makes you suspend your belief in what is possible. Today, for Monday Morning Mindset, I am taking a look at the story of the three little pigs. And it's probably going to be pointing out some things about the story that you have never heard before. This is a longer episode because I'm combining it with an episode from my other podcast. And I thought as I was done with it, I said, this is great for the Monday Morning Mindset as well. So it's about 25 minutes long and it's worth a listen. So if you're used to the 15-minute version of the Monday Morning Mindset, maybe break it up into two. But hope you enjoy my discussion of the Three Little Pigs.
Once upon a time, there were three little pigs whose mother told them that they needed to leave their home and go out into the world and make their own way. You probably have heard this story before. Yeah, but I'm not sure. When I grew up, the Three Little Pigs, it was part of like the pantheon of nursery stories of things that was kind of things that everybody was told to children. But have you ever really thought about the story? The three little pigs go out into the world. Their mother sends them out. Make your own way. So they go out and they encounter a person with a bunch of straw. And the first little pig says, "Can I buy some straw for you from you to make my own house?" So there was no mention of the fact that the mother gave the three little pigs money, or maybe they had their own money. Where'd the money come from? Like, the three little pigs go out to make their way. I mean, the original story was the mother said that she didn't have enough food to give them, so but she had money or some. They had money. I guess it's kind of expected in the story that, you know, if you see three little pigs that they would have money to buy whatever they need. But anyway, I digress. The first pig bought the straw, said, "Here's this great place to build my house," built his house out of straw. The two remaining pigs continue down the road until they see a man carrying a bundle of sticks. And the second little pig says, "Can I buy some sticks from you to build my house?" So the second little pig buys the sticks, builds his house out of sticks. The third little pig continues on his own to find his own way and sees a man with a load of bricks. Because, of course, there would be a man carrying a load of bricks or with a cart full of bricks. He says, "May I buy the bricks from you to build my house?" The man says, "Sure," they make the deal. The little pig begins building his house. Now, as the story goes, the first little pig builds his house very quickly because straw is easy to build with and sets off having a party. The second little pig takes a little bit longer to build his house because sticks are a little harder to work with, and he finishes his house. And they both sit back and relax. This is my life. I've got my house built. Life is easy. Third little pig takes longer, several days, to build his house out of bricks because bricks are harder to work with. And there was no mention of the fact that he bought mortar or anything else or tools to be able to build his house. But given that away, that's the way the story goes. The third little pig gets his house done after several days of brick building. And the three little pigs settle down to enjoy their life. Now, of course, this is a story, so there's got to be a villain. The villain is the big bad wolf, comes along and is like, "Oh my goodness, dinner." And so he goes to the first little pig's house, knocks on the door. Little pig, let me come in." The little pig says, "Not by the hair on my chinny chin chin." The big bad wolf says, "Then I will huff and I will puff and I will blow your house down." Now, here's where the story kind of breaks down. A wolf eats pigs. A wolf, you know, a straw house should pose no problem to a wolf. Why did he knock on the door? I mean, given the character of most wolves, are like, oh, I'm going to find the easiest way to get dinner, and would just like go through the straw wall, you know, dig through the straw wall and have lunch or dinner. But the story goes that the wolf is going to huff and puff and blow the house down. I mean, wolves don't huff and puff that well. You know, so this is kind of where it's a story. And so, you know, whatever, you know, and given the fact that pigs with their hooves, you know, building anything, it is the land of a fairy tale. So the fae make it so that pigs can build houses and wolves can huff and puff. So the big bad wolf huffs and he puffs and he blows the house down and it collapses. The little pig, the wolf, my house is gone, and scurries off. Now, this wolf strategy didn't work very well because the pig escapes and goes to his brother pig in the house of sticks. And so the wolf comes to the house of sticks and knocks on the door. Same strategy. Didn't work last time, but it's going to work this time. Knocks on the door. Little pig, let me come in. Not by the hair on my chinny chin chin, says the little pigs. So the wolf says, I will huff and I will puff and I will blow your house down. So the wolf huffs and he puffs. And he blows the house down. The house falls. The pigs scatter. And the wolf, again, comes away with nothing. So, not such a good strategy on the wolf's part, is it? The two little pigs run to their brother, who was wise and built his house out of bricks. Run into the door. Shut the door. The wolf comes, knocks on the door. This strategy, third time's a charm, right? Knocks on the door. Little pigs, let me come in. Not by the hair on my chinny chin chin, says the owner of the brick house. The other two are hiding under the stairs, according to the story. And the wolf says, so, I will huff, I will puff, and I will blow the house down. Now, it worked well for him twice before to get the house down, but he came away with nothing. So, don't know what was going through the wolf's mind at this point, but he huffs and he puffs and he huffs and he puffs and he huffs and he puffs and he huffs and he puffs, and the brick house doesn't fall. So, of course, you know, you're kind of getting here, the moral of the story is, you know, that you need to be wise and build your house out of bricks and not straw or sticks. That's the premise of the story, that the third pig was wise and built his house out of bricks. But the wolf has a strategy. There's a chimney. And if Santa Claus can go down the chimney, he uses the Santa Claus strategy. I'm going to go down the chimney. So the wolf starts climbing up the wall to get to the roof. The wolf gets on the roof, and the little pigs hear the wolf on the roof and go, oh my goodness, he's going to come down the chimney. We need to do something. Put a pot of water on and light the fire to get it to boil. Now, if you have a pot of water and the wolf is on the roof, even if you have a microwave, that water is not going to heat up to a boil before the wolf comes down the chimney. But again, this is the fairy tale. So the pigs light the fire under the big pot of water, and by the time the wolf comes down the chimney, it is boiling hot. The wolf lands in the pot of water. They slam the lid on top of it, boil the wolf, and have him for their own dinner. This is the story of the three little pigs. Now, there's a lot of different variations, and you probably haven't heard the one that I just told you, because I was looking at the story from a practical standpoint. One of my goals this year is to learn how to tell stories better. And so I've been looking at storylines. And, you know, these stories that we grew up with, or hopefully, and I'm not sure about woke culture and whether they're still telling the story of the three little pigs. Now, I've seen it where, you know, in the original story, the three little pigs boil the wolf and eat him for dinner. The ones that are probably safer for children, or, you know, back when these stories first originated, they were gruesome. I mean, if you look at fairy tales, they were gruesome. We've cleaned them up for our polite society, or the way we don't tell children those kinds of things anymore. We wait until they're a little bit older and then let them watch Netflix, and they can see all the gruesome details there. But that was kind of what the stories were when they originally were created. The pigs boil the wolf and eat him for dinner. So, what is the point of this? What is the point of the story? Of course, it was that you build your house out of sticks, or build your house out of bricks. But really, that didn't work out really so well, because even though the house didn't blow down, the wolf had a second backup strategy. And if they hadn't been able to get the water boiling and all of the, you know, if that hadn't worked out, the wolf would have come in their house and eaten them anyway. So, but suspend your belief. You know, it turned out all right, and, you know, build your house out of bricks. That's kind of the theme that we want you to get here as a child. You know, you need to be wise, think things through, plan ahead. You know, all of those things that we as parents try to teach our children are wrapped up in the kind of the premise of this story. No one ever questions the fact that we really maybe should have put something on this chimney to make it so that it was too small for the wolf to get in and still let the smoke out. That isn't something that you think about. Now, as I look at this story, I want to bring out a few points of my own. Because I think the story works, but maybe not as well for if you really start thinking about it. Now, so I want to think about this story. Think about the fact that the pigs had a strategy for their comfort and safety. Build a house, build their home. And of course, the little pig had the straw was a strategy, and it really kind of worked. I mean, he didn't get eaten. Because, you know, when the house fell down, you know, the wolf was sorting through the straw and the pig escaped. Same thing with the house of sticks. It was a flawed strategy. Yes, of course, the wolf huffed and he puffed and he blew the house down. But in amongst the sticks, the wolf couldn't get to the pigs, and they escaped to the brick house, which was the safer one. And then, you know, the wolf failed, but smarter than he appeared. I mean, given being a wolf, I mean, huffing and puffing, that wasn't necessarily a good strategy as wolves go. But, you know, he had a backup. He had some creative thinking. He came down the chimney. So what does this mean for me? What am I going to do with this story? The pig's strategy had gaps. The wolf had some unconventional tactics. I mean, you know, typical wolf would just go in and bite, wouldn't knock on the door. So the strategy of the wolf was deception first, and then this unconventional attack of huffing and puffing, and then the Santa Claus strategy of going down the roof. So the wolf was not acting quite like a wolf, but he was still trying to eat the pigs. So the thing that the pigs were having to do was deal with a threat that was coming at them in ways that were unexpected. The pig's security strategy, as we talked about, it also had gaps. Even the brick house, even the brick that stood up to the huffing and puffing, they were still vulnerable. So my evaluation of this story is that there are threats out there. Okay, the listener of the story is supposed to identify with the little pigs. You're not identifying with the wolf. I mean, there are people out there who are probably identifying with the wolf. It's like, yes, I'm going to not use those strategies. I'm just going to go in and... I'm talking to those of us who identify with the main point of the story is we are supposed to identify with the little pigs so that we can protect ourselves against the dangers of the world, which is represented by the wolf. So for us, there are threats out there that we kind of have compartmentalized, and we say, yes, there are wolves out there trying to get to us, and we normally think of wolves that would just come in and attack us. And so now we're having to look at there are things out there in the world that are coming at us in unconventional ways, using deception, using unconventional methods to try to get past our defenses, to try to eat us, to try to make us a victim. And for most of us, we go through our life not paying attention. I mean, we're living our life. We're living our life in the house of straw. We're living our life in the house of sticks, whatever. However you have built your house, and I'm talking about your kind of your mindset, your mental perspective. However you have built your house, the way that you live your life, your mindset, you're going through life doing the things that you do and not really worrying too much about what threats might be out there. And when threats come, they're coming in unconventional ways. And what I am seeing in the world is that the world system, society, basically the stories that the world is telling us is trying to get to us to have us for dinner. There are forces out there in the world that are trying to control you. Now, I mean, this can go all the way from Madison Avenue, all the ads that you see, take this drug because that will fix your problem. Take this, eat this, drive this particular kind of car because that will make you to be the person that you want, you want to be. And the thing that we don't stop to think about is that what they're telling us, they are telling us who we are supposed to be. They are the world systems, the world that we live in. There are forces out there, and they're intentionally manipulating language and visual images and all kinds of ways to try to shape us into what they want us to be. And the same thing happens with friends. I mean, you get into a group of friends, and if you're acting in a way that is different from the culture of that group, you're excluded. And the same way with family. Your family trains you to kind of view the world the way that they've always, this is our family culture. And if you try to be counterculture, if you try to question, if you ask questions, if you say, the wolf out there is acting strange because he's knocking on the door and saying, little pigs, let me come in. The wolf is huffing and puffing. And if you start stepping back and going, wait a minute, the story that I'm listening to, yes, if I accept the premise of the fact that it's a fairy tale and that pigs can build houses and that wolves will huff and puff, if I accept those premises as factual, then I'm going to just be within the story and I'm going to go, okay, yes, I need to build my house out of bricks. And I also need to have a pot of boiling water on all the time in case a wolf comes down the chimney. We accept stories. That's the thing about stories is that when I started off this by saying once upon a time, your brain automatically knew it was a story and the once upon a time, you knew it was a fairy tale. And so you expected three little pigs and you expected the huffing and the puffing and you expected the houses to, you knew the story. And so the introduction put you into that suspension of belief. So you don't question like, well, why would the pigs have money? And why would they, all of the questions that I ask along the way probably have never occurred to you. Well, I don't know. Some of you are out there like it. But most of us, we accept the story that has been given to us because it's a story. We are, as human beings, we are wired to respond to stories. In fact, the way the studies that I've done in mindset and the way our brains and our minds work in relating to the world is that most psychologists agree that we interpret the entire world, our entire existence, we internalize the way we respond to reality is by creating a story. Everything that happens out there in the world, that however it really happens, we present it to ourselves, we see it, we see what happens, and we tell ourselves a story about what happened so that we can make sense of what we think happened. And so what the result of that is, we as human beings don't necessarily respond to reality in the way reality is. We respond to reality in the way that we have told ourselves the story about what reality is. So you get that in eyewitness accounts of a car crash. You have 10 people who see something happen, like a car crash, you will have 10 different stories about what happened. Because everybody internalizes and tells the story in a little bit different way. You are telling yourself a story right now about the things that I'm saying. That is the way you're internalizing it. That's just the way we are wired. So what happens is that the person who is telling the story controls your perception of reality. That's why in the news media, they talk about the, quote, narrative. The narrative of what is being created by the people in power to convince us of what's real. And what has been happening in the last several years is that a lot of us are waking up to discover that the stories that we have been told and the stories that we are being told don't necessarily line up with reality. In fact, I mean, you've been hearing about the people who have been named conspiracy theorists. Well, the interesting is that conspiracy theory, that word was coined by the CIA to kind of combat the questions that were raised about Kennedy's assassination. And now it has come out that the CIA was involved in the Kennedy's assassination. So they created this whole concept of conspiracy theory to convince us that what they were saying about the Kennedy assassination was true, and they were actually the ones who were involved in that whole cover-up and the fact that things weren't the way they appeared. That's what I'm talking about the power of story. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for you and me? Pay attention to the stories that you tell yourself and the stories that you're being told, and understand that it is a story. And for me, as a mindset coach, I tell my clients, the mindset that you have is the story you tell yourself about yourself. And so if your life isn't working out the way that you want it to be, it is the fact that you have told yourself a story that isn't getting you to be where you want to be. And also, look at the stories that you're being told and question, how do pigs have money? How do pigs build houses? How do wolves huff and, why do wolves huff and puff? Why? Those stories, just the stories that we're being told about what is real today in the world, have holes in them, just like the story of the three little pigs. And if you step back and go, wait a minute, this story doesn't necessarily line up with what is even possible. And maybe there's a different story. Maybe what I'm being told isn't true. And so what is the story they're telling, and how do they benefit from me believing their story? Now, you can find stories on both sides. Everyone is telling a story to try to convince you that their version of reality is what is real. It was what is true. For you and me, living in the world, if we want to be free from the control of whoever's agenda, whatever agenda they want to try to put on you, and the agenda can come from government, it can come from society, it can come from your friends. They want you to be a certain way, because if you become so much more, then it threatens their security, because, well, if he can be successful, he's no different than me, or she's no different than me. I don't want to do that work. So I will tear them down, because it's easier to do that than it is for me to come up to their level. This is common. This is very, very common. So another thing, that the people that you surround yourself with, you will tend to become like. So as an ultramarathon runner, I ran long distances because I started hanging out with people who thought it was normal for somebody to be able to go out and run 100 miles at one time. And that influences the stories that you tell yourself. I hear the stories of runners who go out and do fantastic things. I'm like, okay, if they can do it, I can do it. I hear stories of people who have this deep connection with God. I'm like, okay, if they have that, I can do that. So that is what I'm trying to get at, is that surround yourself with people who are telling stories that will get you to where you want to be in life, that will get you free from the other stories of people who have a vested interest in keeping you in their box. They create a box around you with your stories. They make you trapped in their story. And what my goal is to help you see the stories that are holding you in and tell yourself a different story. Tell yourself a story of freedom for yourself. Tell yourself a story that sets you free to be the person that you were meant to be the person that you want to be the person that is the best version of you that can be. Because they don't want you to be the best version. The people who are telling you stories to keep you in their agenda, they don't have your best interest. They don't have your best interest in mind. It is up to you and me to decide what is best for us, who we want to be, and tell yourself that story. If I can help you, reach out to me. I would love to have a conversation to help you get started telling yourself a story that makes you who you were meant to be. Thanks for listening. See you next time.